on. Jimmy.
Lock okay.
All right. We made it again. Today's February 20th, 2022. On the UAW Factory Whistle Show. Scott, Jimmy, take it away.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, Scott. What's up, buddy?
No, not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. Some things probably going to touch on tonight, but nothing like really major.
Cool.
You know what I mean?
Looking at that one deal, did you see that Mary Barra cut with Honda, how they're doing the joint ventures and seeking them great tax incentives down there in Tennessee? I thought that was kind of smart what Tennessee did. You will employ 5,000 employees full-time with good benefits, or you will give us half of the tax abatement back. Do you understand these rules?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
About time.
Right. And I'm glad you said something about Tennessee, because if you notice, a lot of the EVs and battery facilities and stuff, they're all mostly down south, aren't they?
Exactly.
Let me get Adrian. Adrian, you are on.
Hi, Adrian.
Hello, Adrian.
Or Carrie. I don't know which. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
It she dropped off again. Hold on.
Damn it,
again.
Scotty. Shut us up.
Okay, you're on.
It's my fault. Hello?
Hello.
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 Oh, good evening.
Good evening, Morticia. Well, boy, it gets quiet. Come on.
Well,
Yeah. I just thought it was weird how, you know, Ford's teaming up with a Korean, South Korean maker to create that. And that's a good deal. I mean, but I think it's a good deal how they worded that tax abatement. If you want, I mean, they're starting to realize these auto companies, they're coming into the community. They ain't paying nothing far as taxes the employee is. And then they're just walking away with, you know, no cost to themselves.
Right. Isn't that something?
It is. You know, but what I see going on, and maybe I'm wrong, Adrian, you tell me what you think. I think Mary Barra is learning how to break the union and make money doing it with all these joint ventures, per se.
That's a real possibility. Let's look back in the history. Remember back in the 90s, all those joint ventures?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing to do back in the 90s. Wonder how many members did we lose from those joint ventures? I mean, we know that they went into the tiers in the 2000s. You know, it's really kind of hard to follow what their plans were. If
right.
You look at it, because they got out of all those joint ventures.
They got us whipsawing everybody. I'm going to word it this way, because I don't see the golden light at the end of the game anymore. But you got 150,000, 200,000 workers fighting for a job that is, they're claiming is going to be dead in 10, 15 years. They ain't going to have it no more.
Right.
So they're just playing whips on us against tier benefit against. What I don't understand is our country is going to continue to deteriorate, in my humble opinion, unless we get back to some type of pension system. And right now, brother and sisters, I don't see shit. We ain't fighting for it either.
No, I was in a conversation the other day on Facebook about pensions and 401k. And the member that I was having a conversation with prefers the 401k over the pension. And I can understand it. Now, a lot of people can't see it, but I've had numerous finance classes, and this young man that I was having this conversation with, he seemed like he'd had numerous finance classes also. Your 401k can be better than your pension, but as I told him, I don't care. You still need to fight to get those pensions back so that you will have a cushion, because that was the way that I used the 401k. I got into it to have it as a cushion to my pension. So, like I say, I believe that no matter what, you should fight for it. Fight to get the pensions back.
I had both, didn't you?
That's what I'm saying.
I invested in myself, people. That's where you got a little bit of gravy, you know. And I hate to say that, but damn it, that's what I want back for you guys. I want you to have some of that gravy, too, not sitting there waiting for your Social Security check. Yeah, that's your money. But get that pension check, too. And then if you invested money in a 401k, I hope you made the right choices. I damn sure didn't.
Yeah, 313, I'm putting you right on. You're on.
That's kind of some of the problem, too. I always felt that the UAW could have done a better job in having classes on how to invest. Yeah, we work for these companies, but you don't want to put the bulk of your money in your 401k money into stocks, not into company stocks.
Enron, one word, Enron.
Yeah, they vary too much. Well, think about the bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll lose. You have to have a mixture. But one of the things of that 401k, they always have, I don't know what they call it at GM, but I know at Ford's it's called the interest income fund. The interest income fund is nothing but a savings account. It gives interest. The interest, I've never seen the interest go down. It'll be at a standstill. But that's your safe account. That account is the safety part of the 401k. Now, you know, the younger you are or the less seniority you have, you can afford to gamble in high-stakes stock programs that they have. But still, you still have to have some sense about it. You can't be looking at it every day and say, oh, well, it's buy low and sell high. That's the way it goes. But no, it's not for a daily basis that you do that. And I've saw a lot of people making that mistake and, you know, tried to say to them, don't do that, because all you're doing is helping to make the stocks fluctuate when you're going in every day or once a week. You have to let it ride and see how it does. But like I say, they need to have some classes, send you to a community college for the classes. Or, because I don't like them bringing people in. I just don't like that. But they need to have something to help their members to understand how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But he ended up, he understood what I was saying, you know, about having that cushion. At least one of them got to be the cushion, the 401k or the pension. Because even he was speaking about his father and how his father's pension is nothing. Well, once you reach 62, of course, the pension, you don't get, if it's $3,200 that they give at 62, you're not going to get $3,200 from your pension. That's going to be cut down from what you get for Social Security. Your pension plus Social Security would equal to $3,200. But if you have a spouse and you're going to leave the pension to the spouse, don't forget you have to pay for that. So that comes out of your pension money. A lot of people, you know, they don't realize or even know that. So it's, you know, like I said, they don't teach this. They don't even speak on it, and they should speak on it so that you can set yourself up for the future. But then why would I think that they would do that when they're not good at forecasting anything? They allow the companies to forecast, and then, oh, yeah, that's right, we're just going to go along with that. Just a little information.
Well, it makes sense, too, though. It does.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of times, and they think that the company should give you the full pension amount, but they haven't even thought about the company pays half your Social Security. They match that. So why should they have to pay you a full pension amount and pay for part of your Social Security? I mean, we would love it. It would be grand if that's the way it worked. But it doesn't work that way.
If you were Right, you know that, right, Adrian?
What's that?
If you were a steel worker, you know that's the case. There's many unions. The police union, they do not have a carve-out. A lot of unions don't have the carve-out the UAW chose.
Right.
And consumers power.
Really nice.
Consumers power you see that way. You got your full pension and your Social Security. I mean, I'm not going to sound like a spoiled rotten brat, but they can afford it.
You look at the money they're making right now, they can more than afford it. That's what I'm saying here. A lot of this stuff, you know, yeah, when they pay the pension, that's where their profits. Now they ain't got the pension, so they got a huge profit, yet they're still raising the price. When the hell are we going to say is enough? We can't do that. Because, as my brother Keller has informed us many times, we sit on the board of directors. That's a bad business decision in one way, yet you're screwing your membership in the other way.
Right.
Double-edged sword.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. It just made me remember. It's been in the last 10 years. Remember what they did with the General Motors salary, the cutoff date for a year, and from that year backwards, your grandfather, from that point going forward, you no longer got a defined pension. You were put into an annuity. And a lot of these people who had almost 20 years lost that pension, was thrown into an annuity. And they get a payment, and it wasn't nothing like the pension would have been. So I know at least General Motors saved money on it by doing the pensions that way. and increase their how much they had to pay for their health care. Their eyes and their dental was increased in retirement. So, I mean, it's just a thought, but for right now, it is what it is. I appreciated your conversation. Other people picked up that note about pensions regarding union contracts and negotiations. And you're absolutely right, and I'm glad that brother and sister showed that. I think you posted, too, the some of the contract language from Chrysler, where we can negotiate pensions for active workers, but not for the retirees.
Right.
I've been saying all along.
Yeah, that's a big lie.
Yeah, I've been saying all along. You can negotiate that. They say, well, you can't. Yes, you can. You can negotiate that for the ones in the future.
Right.
And by the way, the last three contracts, nobody's had an increase. So,
true.
If I was to retire next month, I'd get the exact same thing Don got.
Right.
You know, so.
Same exact thing I've got. That's why in a lot of ways we need to figure a way to get this shit straight. I mean, they say they don't represent us, but hell, you don't represent us. How did I end up losing my Christmas bonus? That was negotiated.
That's correct.
Yes, it was.
So,
and
yes,
you
it
can't.
Was.
How are you going to say that? That's like I said. That's a big lie because you lost. We as retirees lost Christmas bonus, COLA, and any raises that were given out for the pensions. GM,
that
was on the 13th check. Anybody know about that?
What's that? I didn't hear it.
GM used to get what was called a 13th check.
Yes. They stopped that a long time ago. You remember
right.
that shot we got at Christmas?
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, they took
oh,
that.
Oh, Christmas. Yeah, Christmas bonus. No. No. We lost Christmas bonus.
No, not Christmas bonus, the Christmas check. We got a whole nother check.
Yeah, they called it a
13th
check.
Yeah, we called it. We
called it. I walked out of there with three paychecks for 2 weeks off.
Yeah, it was called the Christmas. We called it the Christmas bonus. Another 40-hour check. And that was cut out under Gettelfinger for General Motors.
Paul, you're on.
Greetings, you rabble rose.
Greetings, Paul. No, I'm trying to ask about the retirees. The retirees received what they call the 13th check.
Oh.
No, I was not for that.
Well, it seems they can negotiate to screw us, but they can't negotiate in our benefit.
That's correct.
That seems contradictory.
Isn't it?
I think the big shame is that... well, one of Dave Yetdaw's big things was he was pushing for cost of living on pensions. That's something we should have. You know, if you retire at 55, you're going to have the same pension if you live to 95. And, you know, most pensioners aren't in the shape to take on a second job, you know, because they get in their 70s and 80s.
We did have coal on our pensions.
Yeah,
we did.
Yeah. Well, our international reps managed to get a good deal out of it with COLA.
Absolutely.
And our pensions are substandard when it's compared to other unions. The UPS workers get, I don't know, something like $5,000 or $6,000 a month when they retire at 30 and out, and they don't have COLA carve-out either. The Big Three has done a good job of conning the union. We've had some really stupid people negotiating for us that have bought into all of management's logic. You know, like right now, we're locked in the long-term contracts with basically very little protection against inflation. But management has inflation protection. They just raise their prices, you know, when their prices go up. And, you know, the people that have been negotiating for us for years are very management friendly. And we've got nothing in return. You know, we've got no guarantees that management will fight for market share. I mean, basically, we're just giving away the farm, and management continues to give away our jobs. And I think on the General Motors front, pretty much every job that they create in the future is going to be a joint venture. They're going to just slowly eliminate their GM workforce by just taking everything into joint ventures. I don't see where they plan on doing much of anything in-house with electric.
And well, this is what I was talking about, looking at past history. There
right.
were joint ventures in the past. And
right.
all of a sudden, the joint ventures, they dissolved their joint ventures and they became their back to their company. And then what happened with the people?
Yeah.
Because they were, at that time, these people were... going to get a pension, but they couldn't get a full pension from the parent company.
Right.
And
yeah.
and so when you look at it that way, because I know we had some issues over at Ford's with Mazda,
yeah.
and the Mazda members, when they came over to Ford, they were quite upset with us because they didn't understand why we were upset. How do you come from Mazda, which was a joint venture, with
right.
all of your seniority? You can't do that.
Yeah.
You're
well,
supposed to be data entry.
Management has done a good job of creating chaos.
Yes.
To divide and conquer. That's what these paragraph 96 moves were about. I took one from Flint Truck and Bus down to Pontiac Truck and Bus when they moved the pickup truck down there, and a lot of the people were upset that it hired in down there because we came down and actually caused some layoffs. Some of their seniority people were laid off because we had more time than them. And management's very clever, you know. Dave Yetaw used to always say that management was playing chess and the union was playing checkers. Management was just playing a much more sophisticated game, and it shows.
Yes.
For 30 or 40 years of cooperation, we've got nothing for it. The working conditions are crap. A production worker that used to be able to hire in at 18 and get out and at age 48 was 30 and out pension. Now they're going to have to work 45 or 50 years before they can collect Social Security. And so they're either going to have to wait 50 years or get injured on the job bad enough that they can go out on disability. I mean, we've got nothing for our cooperation, and they continue to push for more and more, more continuous improvement. I always told people, you know, I'm working hard enough. I'm not working harder. I don't care what management wants, and I don't care what the union says. I'm getting out of this place in one piece, and I retired at 55. I didn't have a bad back. I didn't have carpal tunnel in both hands. You know, I worked at a pace that I could sustain, but they've managed to con people or manipulate people or scare people into working harder than is healthy for them.
I'm kind of glad you brought up paragraph 96. We're going to have a move It was posted the 18th, 2 days ago, and it will close on the 28th at 1 p.m. They're accepting transfers up to 350 people to Detroit Hamtramck Assembly or Plant Zero. Oh, I wonder how many of those people, like from our plant, might have returned to former community rights or would have transferred down. That's going to be considered a local area hire, so you'll get nothing for money for moves. But some people have been driving from Detroit area up to Flint for a couple of years now, and I'm sure some of them are going to go back that didn't sell their house.
Right.
But that's a move that's coming up. It's active, you know, the next eight days. You know, so
what are they going to do, backfill with temps if they get 300 people to transfer down there?
That's my guess. That's my guess.
Yeah.
That's what will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it worked out well for them in this situation.
Right.
You know, we got all sorts of stuff going on in these plants. All of the D3 are still dealing with chip shortages and chip issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all going on. We got moves going on. We hear about all these EV plants and joint partnerships with foreign automakers for batteries and production and this and that. They're all down south, you know, and all this stuff going on. And I see this post that General Motors is going to put out a 2023 GMC Acadia GT with 472 horsepower. That's going to be a high-performance SUV. And again, wow. Thought you guys were talking about going all EV. Well, where did this play into the matter here, right?
Well, what they want to do, they just want to make expensive vehicles.
Absolutely.
They've thrown the entry level and mid-sized vehicle market to the Japanese and the Koreans, and it shows now that Toyota's outselling them. I don't know what. You know, what's in their head, but it doesn't seem like GM's very smart business people, and they've gone from 50% of the market share in the late 70s to what they got now, 15%?
Yeah.
I mean,
I think they're at 17.
You know, in any other industry, you'd be firing for losing that many customers.
Right.
I mean, you know, they don't make sense. You know, the Japanese, their philosophy was when they came here, they were going to lose money until they drove the big three out of certain market segments, and that's really what Amazon's done. Amazon started out losing money. They kept losing money and getting people that were investing their stock, and the idea was they were just going to keep losing money till they drove their competitors out of business. Then they'd raise their prices to where they want them to be.
Right.
What
right.
is an Amazon Prime membership? Is what,
$100?
Yeah.
It's $100, I think.
I think it's going up to $139.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Just think, when you got a few million customers and you're charging them all that kind of money, that covers a lot of postage.
Yeah, it does.
Geez.
But with Amazon Prime, you get Amazon on your TV too. I mean, there's for $139, you get a few more perks, but
sure.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's a way to bring in a lot of money. It is.
But they have lost money. They lost money for, you know, for many quarters. And, you know, some of the experts say that Amazon's going to drive a third of our malls out of business.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty that's why I don't understand Jim's thinking. The companies that are really winning are fighting for market share, and Jim's basically giving away market share. They're chasing away customers.
Yep. Gotta love when a plan comes together, right?
Yeah. Ford did the same thing. How many years was the Ford Taurus the leading or the best-selling car in America, so they stopped making it?
Yep. Just like the Buick.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, and they're dropping the LS7 motor, the 427. They don't go buy them anymore.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's like a lot of people who race like that block.
Yeah.
You know, that aluminum 427 block. Lots of people like that motor. Yeah. It's light.
Well, one of the stipulations we should have had with management when we got involved in jointness, we shouldn't have got in jointness to begin with, but one of the stipulations should have been was they will fight for market share. Why are we cooperating with them when they're working as hard as they can to put us in the unemployment line?
Right. Right. Well, they went after Tesla again this week. You know, Teslas have the, they call it the boombox feature.
Yep.
And they're going to have to recall over 500,000 vehicles.
Yeah.
Because you can get in and you can play around with the noises that your horn makes. You can have it fart. You can have it sound like a goat. There's different things. And then the National Highway, National Traffic Safety Highway, whatever it is, safety. And anyway, the governing body says that's illegal. It's got to have a car sound. Kind of a horn. Can't make noises like that. So they're going after them. That's kind of, they said it's going to set them back like 2 years. It shouldn't. But we'll see what happens with that. But that's another thing where, you know, somebody was doing something different. No, can't have that.
He's an upstart,
you know what I mean?
Like DeLorean.
Right. Right. They're going to bring the DeLorean back, I guess, as the EV. Interesting.
I see. I was trying to find out if it was going to be all stainless steel. It is not.
It's not? Was it aluminum?
No, it's not stainless steel. You know? So does that mean we're going to have another movie?
I don't know.
We better not say that, or Elon Musk will get jealous and they'll have to make a movie over his car, too.
Right. Side note, some of the listeners on the show, you may still have some of those older flip phones or some older cell phones, maybe some of your home alarms. Understand. You guys are going to lose service here soon when they cut off 3G service. Your phone, your tablets, some of these other stuff that run on 3G will no longer work. Just trying to give you a heads up. That was from the WXYZ down in Detroit. They put that story out. AT&T will begin shutting down the 3G services on February 22nd. Verizon and T-Mobile will end their 3G later this year. So that's your big three for as far as the cell phone providers go. So between this week and sometime later on, I imagine probably by June, if you have an older cell phone or tablet or something like that that runs on 3G, you might want to upgrade soon. Just a thought.
Scott, I got a question. I'm told that stupid shift disk that we're having a problem with our cars runs on 3G and a banking system. That's why they want our phones off it. I don't know that to be true.
The 3G also does run a lot of the car chargers on that network. And that's what they're talking about is if they cut 3G off, that remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago. That's going to leave a lot of people with charging systems with no way to charge. Basically, again, a gas pump and it don't pump gas no more. So, just, you know, a thought, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
Real quick, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, Local 38 is on strike. They are in Iowa. That's just come out 2 days ago. They're on strike. This is what I found out about it. Local 281 and Local 388. UAW Local 281 put the story out about that, and I wanted to share that out that we've got some other unions out there on a picket line right now. Just putting it out there, you know what I mean? Lake Orion's going to stay idle until spring, so there's no new bolts to buy. So I know Paul is probably ready to go out and buy a set of bolts, one for you and one for the wife, but it's not going to be any available for right now. I'm here in April. April 4th is when they're supposed to restart production at Lake Orion. So, and then Stellantis is recalling 19,000 Pacifica hybrid minivans for a fire risk. It seems like we're all having problems with our batteries, it sounds like. I don't know. Defects in the batteries. And LG from South Korea is the maker for the batteries for both Pacifica and the Bolt. And it's at its Holland plant in western Michigan. So I didn't know they had a battery plant over in Holland. And then earlier this week, trying to find his name. He's now a former GM executive. He resigns from the EV startup amid investigations. Imagine that. Jim Taylor. He was also worked at Ford for a short period of time. So there's a lot of stuff going on around electric vehicles and stuff. I had an article I posted. They had an all-electric heavy-duty pickup truck. It's an EVHD with 550-plus horsepower. They were trying to run it and see what it was doing. They did say that it had a 0 to 60 in 4.6 seconds. But a prototype. They're in IC proving grounds in Michigan's Upper Peninsula near Brimley. They're impressed with the drive, impressed with how it built. They didn't give us any specification as far as the battery life. You know what I mean?
That scares me in a way because I don't know if you people have been following the other thing going on. with Volkswagen and these Volkswagen, electric Volkswagens they were sending over here. But you can look for them. They're sending a pretty good smoke screen off in the middle of the Atlantic. They're on fire. They had to abandon the ship that was bringing them across. 650 feet long, says it has 18,700 metric tons of cargo. A Volkswagen Group said in a brief statement it was transporting U.S. vehicles that the German automaker had produced, and that the company declined to comment as to why all the cars started catching on fire halfway through the trip.
Oh, I didn't hear about that part.
Yeah, I think there's a bunch of luxury cars on that ship, too.
Yes, there's Porsches.
Well, they're all electric vehicles.
And Bentleys.
Let's say that. Everyone's electric.
Hmm. Did not know that. Thank you for sharing that. Well,
so, yeah, they evacuated 22 crew members were taken off the blaze of the Portuguese, with the Portuguese Navy. And the ship was left floating in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. Viewers were standing miles away observing it burn.
Mm-hmm.
So they really haven't given any indication how many miles a battery will last for then.
Not for the HD.
Okay.
No. Sounds like you had a lot of fun with it, Paul, but I didn't get any information as far as, you know, how long did the battery last, and especially in the cold, we know when it's super hot and when it's really cold, electric vehicles don't do as well.
And we don't know how long they'll last, say, if you drive in the city as compared to highway either.
Well, there is some stuff out there. The general consensus is you'll drive, to get the maximum out of your battery, you'll drive no faster than 68 miles an hour.
Okay.
68 miles an hour is the magic number to get the optimal or the premium mileage out of your vehicle. If you drive over 70 miles.
Do they know whether it'll last 100,000 miles or 80,000 miles or how long these electric vehicles will go?
Oh, no.
That's a question in my mind.
Well, they have estimates on this, and what all of us on this show would say, the first thing is, okay, how much the replacement battery is going to cost me?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be just cheaper to go out and buy another vehicle?
And what is the estimate based on?
You remember what I said? Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. I remember what I said a few weeks ago. The guy that his battery just puked out, and he junked the car because I think he said the battery cost $22,000. You remember that?
Yep.
Yeah,
that was
all.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Oh, no,
that
when
was I do remember that.
Yeah.
I think she was Tesla cut a deal. Did you see that a couple of weeks ago? Tesla did cut some type of deal where they'll give you, I don't know, like a 50% off, I believe, on the first battery, but their second battery is all on you.
Jesus.
Right. Yep. I absolutely agree.
Well, what nobody's failing, you know. A lot of shit. I mean, what do we got to do to recycle this battery? What do we got to do to get rid of this? What's it going to do to our environment? Are we better off with carbon monoxide from a gas combustion engine or the corrosive acid of batteries? I mean, I don't know. I'm not a rocket scientist here. That's why I thought, you know, I don't know. I think there's other ways to go than battery, but that's just an old guy.
Right. Right.
Maybe they'll come up with a wind-driven car. It runs when the wind's blowing. You know? Who knows?
Almost sound like Flintstone models.
There
you go. I'll take the Brontosaurus burger to go, please.
There you go.
So
coming in kind of hot, Barney, will you fly your bridge?
Yeah, there you go. We'll get you some water for your feet in a little bit, right? So I was posting the show and I come across something. I want to share it with you guys. Unfortunately, it's kind of a long read, and I want to read you a couple comments underneath the post. And here we go. It says, I saw a post on another page that went sideways fast about the absenteeism in the plant that was addressed today at the meeting, the union meeting, that is. The point the chairman made was that we were number one priority within General Motors. Now we are down to number four. The reason for this is because we have not been making schedule. Mexico and Canada are more than happy to take the work we don't want and are already doing that. Canada has over 2,000 apply for 1,500 positions for two shifts. He stated that they would have plenty of people to make a third shift. If that happens, then we will be in trouble. If we don't make schedule, the other plants take our work. I know I've missed my fair share due to health issues and understand others have problems too. His point was that if we don't make schedule, then someone else will. If that happens, then losing a shift is a real possibility. That surely will amount to a layoff. My words, not his. I am simply passing along the message. If we go two shifts, then we are screwed. We were number one and hope we get back there because I certainly do not want to move again. Yes, the jobs are hard on our bodies. Yes, it isn't what it was in the past and is no longer the preferred place to work anymore for many like it was back in the day. We all understand that. There's no need to be hateful towards each other. And if you choose to comment, please be respectful to others and please refrain from negative comments, destroying information shared with the membership. And I go down and I look at some of these comments and people talk about the design flaw, line speed, you increase the output from 70 down to 40. What's going to happen with that? I mean, this just went on and talked about people have given and given and there's nothing left. And they said that they agree. The company slit its own throat here in Fort Wayne. The downfall started as soon as Cathy left the plant manager and escalated rapid pace when Canada Mike was here. Another nail in the coffin was Jim wanting to pay cheap wages for hard work and no time off. This is the way the referral program. Most of us wouldn't put in a name we didn't think it had. And they had this COVID to the mix and it's been the perfect shitstorm. So I'm going through this, and I guess my point is I'm listening to this CHOP chairman. I'm going, you know what? Yeah, maybe if you guys had a spine or a backbone, you'd stand up to the corporation. You're sitting here trying to scare the shit out of your membership. Mm-hmm. Oh, because you're not making the schedule. You're not making the schedule. We have nothing to do with the schedule, you nitwit. Read your contract. Paragraph 8 says that very clear. We have nothing to do with that. That's management, baby. That's not workers. And how dare this clown come out and say this stuff at a union meeting? That's just point out wrong. Wrong.
Team gives the workers blame and responsibility without any power. See, you're powerless to really control throughput or whatever you want to call it because management controls all the variables. But when
exactly.
They don't meet schedule, they blame us. And the union
team concept,
bought into it. Garbage.
Team concept? No team concept. I don't care. I don't care what GMS says. I'm telling you, I've got a copy of the national contract, the latest one, and paragraph 8 is still there. And
right.
Basically it says all means, methods, and process are solely exclusively that of the right of the corporation.
Yeah.
So if I read that contract, that means even though I'm a team member, I have nothing to do with that decision. That's all in the corporation. Just saying.
Well,
but then,
yeah.
You know, and I'm waiting for ours to say something like this too, because they're making heavy duties up in Canada, up in Oshawa.
Yeah.
And they're making light duties. And I understand that. And we all know that once they get running, there's going to be a cut in overtime at Fort Wayne and at Flint. We
right.
know that, right? I mean,
right.
it's just, we have been around long enough to know how this rodeo gets played out. But
right.
to have the top chairman come out here and scare his membership in such a way, man, I don't know about you, Paul or Jim or Adrian, but I'm not happy with it at all. It
yeah.
leaves a real bad taste in my mouth, and I'd love to hear your guys' discussion on it now.
Well, doesn't it say in the national agreement that the plant manager and the shop chairman are responsible for running an efficient operation? I
yep.
believe that's so. In other words, when things go wrong, they shift part or most of the blame to the union. When things are going right, management gets a fat bonus, and
yep.
the workforce gets nothing.
Yeah, right. Well, I mean, I saw that, and I just got infuriated.
Yeah.
It's like, if you was to stand up for your membership instead of trying to scare them, and
yeah.
gee, you know, let's not talk about the temporaries and the savings that they made. That
sure.
you allowed to have happen.
Yeah.
You know, let's not talk about how much money you save your corporation. Oh, we want more. And we're going to use
yeah.
the shop chairman to make sure we get it, too. Right?
Right. So. See, the UAW is not legally, but in function, it's now a company union. It has been for many years, because bargaining is all about sitting down the table and asking management what they want, and then responding to management's demands. They don't put any. Well, the only demands they put on management is for joint funds to create more appointed jobs. They don't do anything to make working conditions better. They don't stand up to management, call them on the carpet when they, you know, when they fail or when they backstab us.
Well, that's true. What do you think, Adrian? What do you think, Jim? Hello?
I'm happy that I'm out of
there. Go ahead, Adrian.
I said, I'm happy that I'm out of there.
Amen.
Because half of this crap is going on. It just don't sit right. No UAW chairperson, representative of the UAW is supposed to be threatening the membership.
Right.
If you're not for the membership, you need to move the heck out the way.
Yeah.
And go to the company side.
Yep. Apply for a management job.
Yep. They got a lot of openings. They always have a lot of openings for salary. If you could take it.
Well, yeah.
yeah.
Jobs, but what I have a problem with is just last week, again, they went all to their Tier 2 shops and said they need these parts cheaper. Here we go again. So now they're going to bring in another class of lower grade parts, less quality parts, and then give them to this great talented workforce that they don't want to brag about and say, build us a world-class vehicle with the cheapest parts we can buy. Do you understand what we want here, man? You can do it.
Yeah.
I mean, how cheap do you want this shit to get?
Hello?
Yeah, we here.
Okay. We just wanted to make sure.
Me too, because that's where I'm at. Like I said, how cheap do you want it? I mean, you're going to make this car so thin you can take a, I mean, a shopping cart bends your bumper on a pickup? Come on. Bob Seger changed the song. It's not like a rock anymore.
Nope.
You know, like I said, as you get older, you got to change the lyrics to your song. It's not Village People no more. It's AARP, remember? But no, I mean, think about it. Our membership's gone to hell. They can only negotiate, what is it, I believe it was 2-3% cash raises on your contract, 2-4% on your paycheck. You got 2-4% raises, I think, on the other parts of the contract. But for themselves, man, they took a 31% contract. But that's kind of hard, you know. What they do is sit down at the table with a mirror on the side and get drunk and drink and sit there and say, I want this and I want that and get it. Cause I don't know who the hell they negotiate, but they work for us, people. Let's all get involved. Let's take our union over and take it in the right direction. We have one chance to do this, and I'm going to tell you right now, in my humble opinion, very few of the delegates we sent last time will fill those shoes. Remember what I just said. Take it away, folks.
Yes, yeah, I agree. And profit sharing be paying out here shortly, and I see Ford is going to up the profit sharing for the salaried workers. What a slap in the face, huh?
I've seen that. Did you see the amount they're upping it?
No, I did not.
If I understood the news right, it looks like it's going to be possibly a double digit.
That's what I heard. Somebody said almost up to 50%.
No, that's what I'm hearing. But now, General Motors does their, they still have the monthly incentive for their foreman, so I'm thinking that's why GM didn't jump in the same way Ford did.
No, but what they will do is they may raise the percentage out for the initial payout for the top sharing. It depends on what level of manager you are at. You get a set percentage of your yearly salary. That's your bonus that they pay out for the profit sharing for them. And what I'm hearing is they may bump all those percentages up a little bit for General Motors. Just saying, you know, it's crazy.
They have many ways
have to send
their pocket. I remember the old Hawaiian, she told me a couple of times she used to do anywhere between $11,000 and $25,000 bonus every month on third shift.
Wow.
I'm like, wow, that's more than I make working overtime. A lot more.
It's amazing. It's something. Shop here, not there scaring people.
GM employee, Scott, she retired as GM foreman, got a great thing, and then like 3 months come back, and I remember her first week back, she bought everybody on the floor, took somebody off the clock, paid them to take a day off out of her own pocket, and had everybody eat steaks when she came back. That was what kind of lady this lady was. She didn't mind working for her.
Wow. Paid you take a day off?
You worked for her. The three guys she had cooking the steaks outside on the grills, she paid them as if they were working.
Wow.
Weren't on the clock, you know, but she paid them cash money.
Hmm. Yeah, we don't have any number of that problem.
I don't ever remember anybody ever feeding anybody in the plant steak dinners. And like I said, she openly told us, hey, man, they brought me back, and she claimed she got a great chunk of money to come back.
Well, yeah. Yeah, if you come back as a contractor, you can negotiate it because you already got your health insurance and stuff. So you just negotiate your higher wage. You get your pension check.
Come back. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
They normally come back with not less than $100 an hour.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
So you're getting your pension check, and most of these people are over 62 and a half, so they're getting a Social Security check, and now you're making another paycheck at around $100 an hour. You know, you don't see any of the retirees getting an opportunity to come back work in the plant, do you?
Well, they know we have better sense than to work the way they're forcing people to work now.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, when they put too much work on me, the line would go down. Because one thing you're supposed to have is dignity in the workplace. You know, it's not supposed, the work pace isn't supposed to be so much that they're flogging you like a dead horse.
Yep.
You're supposed to be able to work at a normal pace, not a frantic pace.
I agree with that.
And, you know, they've no concern for the needs of a human being.
No.
You know, the union, when they gave in this deal that you'd get one break and a lunch, they should have been shot.
Yep.
Because it's been long standing for decades, you get a lunch and two breaks.
Used to. Now they pay your second break while you're going home.
Yeah. A break isn't something you get at the end of the shift. And, you know, they know that. They've bargained everything in management's favor. They don't look at what the needs of the people are. And they offered all those early retirements and buyouts to get rid of people like us, because they want a bunch of sheep in there that don't understand that they have to look out for themselves and their own interests, their health, the welfare of their family. You know, I worked on lines that were hand loaded, you know, and they're always trying to get you to work faster, and I'd always tell my partner, for you work harder first, to eliminate your overtime, then eliminate third shift. And, you know, that's the way it went. There's the worker gets absolutely no benefit from this program at all. You don't even get free horse liniment for your, you know, for your sore back. I mean, I was watching a program on the news. We all know that, you know, wages are going up in the private sector. They're kissing people's rear ends to get them to go back to work. But one thing they mention is people are saying no to this deal, that they have to respond to a text message from the boss at 10 o'clock in the evening or on their vacation time or whatever. People are demanding a life, and we need to get back to that in the auto industry. I can't believe what they've done to these temps. They're basically lifetime temps. They don't even know if they got a job tomorrow till the end of the day. And
I got to interrupt. I'm glad you said that. At our local, they reduced some people who were full-time temporaries back to part-time temporaries.
Oh, wow.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a game.
Start.
We knew it. That's going to be a game. Everybody knew that. Everybody told them. They didn't want to listen to us. They voted for this shit in. That monkey's on them.
Right.
And if our union
won't
stick up to get their clock reset because of a part shortage, then again, that shows how shitty this UAW really has turned out to be. And I'm sorry for using the word that way, because I'm proud to be a union member, but for what they've done with it. This what they call a full-time temporary job. In my opinion, you guys deserve more than enough. You flat-ass suck.
Well, it's a sorry union that doesn't think ahead. and building protections for these people.
How the hell can you have a temporary job that's there 7 days a week?
Right.
Yeah. Or work Monday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah.
You know. Or and be on call when I need you.
Yeah.
Or like they were doing.
Yeah.
And they would put all the new people on the good preferred jobs because there's language in the contract that we can't displace them. So you can't bump them. So when somebody retires, a new person comes into that job before they can post the job, then you can't bump them. It turned out to be just, I mean, it was a way to work us harder to make you want to get out and retire. That's all the hell that was. If you weren't going to retire with the incentive, you're going to either work, like the guy from, what's his name, Sergio said, we'll just work them until they die.
Yep. Yep. That was a quote, too.
The thing that stuck out of that, you know what the best thing out about that saying, Don? Couch?
What's
that?
He said,
let them just die. He said, let them just die and go away. But ha-ha, look who died first.
Yep. He did die. Cancer, wasn't it?
He knew they were coming after him over that Fiat shit. Him and Nika Belli were going together away for some time.
Yep.
Yep. We'll see what happens.
Okay, I got a 810. I'm putting you on. You're on 240.
Hi, this is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi. Hi, Steph.
How are you guys?
I'm groovy.
I'm a little late to the party. Sorry, I was on the phone.
Well, I was just telling them, I don't know if you heard the shop chairman at the union meeting today down at Fort Wayne was trying scare tactics with the membership. Was basically yelling at them that we're not making schedule, that they're going to lose their work to Mexico and to Canada and, you know, and we'll lose shifts. And I'm just was so upset with that. Think, well, gee, if you had a spine, you'd stand up to the corporation and, you know, we wouldn't have temporary workers and we would have other things. And furthermore, how you guys run your plant is out of our control. We don't run it. You do, right?
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, I'll see if I can send that to you so you can see that.
Okay.
But it was,
You know, the thing that, Scott, were you at our union meeting today?
Yes.
By the way, for anybody who doesn't know, I'm from Local 598. I'm a trustee. Eric, our chairman at our meeting today, talked about DHAM and how they were taking just over 300 people application period. You know, and the people that came to our plant from DHAM were told that that plant was closing. So,
right.
You know, I don't know how many people we have at our plant that want to go back, but what I was surprised to hear was that they don't have recall rights. And then after the meeting, what I was even more surprised to hear was when they go back, they have to start over in seniority. Now, had I known that, I would have raised my hand, and I don't know for sure if it's true, but do you guys know?
Gotcha. It's the same thing they did. Everybody that left my house and went to your house, they had they got the new seniority date for implant, but they got to keep their other seniority date towards retirement and credit service. But I know a couple of them that worked over there for a year before they got that offer, and that time was like in limbo. They didn't get credit for it at all toward retirement, and that sucked.
Yeah, that's not fair. That's not right.
There is some contractual language.
What's up with the arbitration? You guys know about the arbitration about with the plants that closed and that it wasn't contractual and they're fighting it in court. You guys know about that?
No.
Are they going to roll over like they did on Lordstown?
Yeah, I don't know.
Put up a little battle and look good and then roll over?
Well, there's four plans that the arbitration is over, but I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head what they are. But So, and then, you know, the other thing from our union meeting today is that he did talk about the new work and how no investments are being put into our plant, you know, our location, which, you know, they have just put billions of dollars into our plant over the last couple of years. So it's not entirely shocking, but he did say that, you know, we're pretty much guaranteed 10 years out of work, at least with what we've got going on right now. So I thought that was pretty encouraging, because there's been a lot of blabber about, you know, we're not getting any money invested there, and the electric vehicles are coming, and but it sounds like we're good for at least 10 years. So.
Right.
When I hear the word investment, it scares me, because over the last three decades or so, every time they invested money in a plant, it was invested to destroy jobs. More automation, more things of that nature, not more jobs.
Well, at our plant, it was a new body shop and a new paint shop, so I can't say that that's necessarily true with our situation, but I do know what you're talking about.
But, I mean, you know, normally new body shop, new paint shop means more automation, less jobs.
I don't work in those plants. Scott, have you ever been over there and worked?
Which one?
In the paint or the body shop at our local.
Not the new one. I knew in the new one. We reduced people. We reduced people because they didn't need as many people. Same thing with the paint, and the paint department's getting ready to reduce again. From what I'm being told.
Well, the metal center is a good example of investment. They had 3,700 people working there in 1998, and we went on strike. They made investments. They made more investments. There's less than 500 people working there now. We need to be fighting for more than investment. We need to fight for jobs. I don't care if GM puts $1 billion in the plant if it means that they get rid of half their workforce.
I think this next contract, we absolutely need to fight for no more temporary workers.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100%.
Here, here. Yeah. You got to end the discrimination, sister. It's destroying this union from within.
It is. There's no solidarity, and it's
that's by
it's
design.
Conflict of interest. I mean, pretty soon they're going to outnumber us. You know, it's not good. So. One thing I was glad that our chairman did bring up today was that, you know, with this truckers convoy and, you know, all of the controversy within everything that, you know, he took his, I've been so hopeful because they say we shouldn't have supported it. And you know what, as union members, we have an obligation to support anybody who has a peaceful protest, whether we agree with them or we don't. And so many people within the union were scorning these people and saying they had no right because we were losing money, and I was appalled by it. So I was very proud that the chairman said today, you know what, we needed to support those people. Yes, we did lose money, but, you know, that's the price we pay for our freedom and the, you know, ability to protest peacefully. I don't know if you guys are all on the same page with that or not, but I think that
I am.
I think it needed to be said.
Absolutely.
You know, I had a conversation with somebody earlier this week, and I said, look, whether you agree or disagree with the purpose in which they did this, I said, you've got to give them kudos 100% for standing together for a cause in solidarity.
Absolutely.
They stood together, they believed in what they're doing, and they held the line. And unfortunately, unfortunately, General Motors and Ford got on the horn and said, all right, this is enough. Break this up.
And hold on just for a second, Scotty.
Where are you?
This is a live feed. I don't know where all the police came from. They're not Canadian. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, anyway, that's my opinion. It started hurting some people on this side of the bridge. Some phone calls were made, and they said, that's enough. You know, and it was peaceful until the police brought in the horses and started trampling people.
Yeah,
they did.
Terrible. Terrible.
I told them, think about that. You have a family. Think about your future. We are fighting.
This is one of the truckers.
I know. I told them, I know you are working because you have a paycheck. That's why. Are they scared to lose the job? That's it.
Yeah.
But they are beside us. They are with us. Okay.
They just don't have the courage.
They don't have the courage. You know, that's the problem. They
all right. And like I told Scott earlier, she's an old lady. She lives in Ottawa, but she doesn't get out. And she listens to the news, watched the news, and she thought her town was burning the way they were talking about, you know, riots and race flags going, you know, Nazis. So and her friend called her and said, that's not happening. So she got a cab and went downtown to see. And she said they were the nicest people. There was nothing but a good time going on, people talking, dancing and eating.
Right.
She said, I back them 100%. They went from heroes to zeros in 2 years.
And now you're careful supporting them because they're trying to blacklist the people who have been supporting them out there. You know, businesses who sent them food and stuff, they're trying to shut down their businesses. They're harassing them. It's crazy what's going on over there.
Sure is.
Yep.
It's terrible. Now, just look up what the Ottawa mayor wants to do. And he said it today. He wants to destroy them, just take all their livelihood, their money, everything, put them in jail.
Terrible.
Well, they've already done that because, you know, they're going overboard with these vaccine mandates. This particular, these type of vaccines do have side effects. My wife has a small business, and had a young girl come in. She had a She was about 25, and she had her father in the hospital here in Saginaw. I forget what he went in the hospital for, but he contracted COVID and C. diff in the hospital. And this girl's not vaccinated, and the doctors were all telling her that she needs to get it vaccinated. This is a danger to everyone around her. Well, she told me she had two friends that got the vaccine and died of myocarditis. This thing's not without side effects and potential dangers. And these truckers don't hardly see anybody.
Right.
Even if they got COVID.
And it's not offering immunity. So what's the big deal?
Yeah. I mean, some people can't take vaccines. They react badly to the, to the, you know, the preservatives and the different things they put in them.
Right.
You know,
there's no one-size-fits-all drug anyway.
Yeah,
I don't care what vaccine it is.
I've listened to a guy on the radio a couple times. He's a doctor. He's the one that invented the technology for mRNA vaccines, and he said they're overused.
Really?
You know, they should be used.
Uh-huh.
They shouldn't be given to everybody. That some of these people that get it end up becoming COVID factories.
Yeah.
Right.
Dr. Malone.
Yeah, their body's harboring
this virus. People should
have a choice. What's that?
If people should have a choice. That's the bottom line. If you think it protects you, then go and get it.
Yeah, and we should have intelligent discourse on the topic, and it's nobody else's business what you do, as long as you're not endangering other people.
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
That's just my opinion.
And I think at this point, it all boils down to money. Somebody's making hundreds of millions of dollars on this vaccine. And
I mean, obviously.
Yeah. They not only
we
want
have all seen what they've made.
Yeah. When they want everybody in America to get it,
Well, when you guys get time, go to Project Veritas and listen to one of the FDA people that he's way up there. He was talking about they get millions of dollars from the pharmaceuticals, and they get billions of dollars when they okay it. And, the more money they get, the faster they okay it.
Right.
Any prescription drug or whatever should have, yes, the people who have done the research and created the drugs or whatever it is should get paid. But there should be a one-time thing. They shouldn't keep getting, paid every time. It's a conflict of interest because then you're out there pushing it because you want to make more money. And,
you're right.
I just feel like it should be a nonprofit thing after that. These doctors shouldn't be getting kickbacks. The CDC shouldn't be getting kickbacks for approving it. The FDA shouldn't be getting it. It's all bullshit.
Yep.
I can't even believe that it goes on. And
money, money, money.
It has to change. That's a big problem in this country.
It is.
Yeah. I've been telling people watch them.
And they wonder why people don't trust them. Well, it's pretty obvious why I don't trust you.
You're right.
Well, there's a great deal of people out there that blindly trust them because they're an authority. And that's a big problem.
We should be able to trust them. But we can't.
Yeah.
That's just the harsh reality.
Well, we need to be critical thinkers.
Right.
Look at our union contracts. One of the reasons we've got such bad contracts is people in the plants are not critical thinkers. They get a sell sheet every time a contract comes out, tell them what the pluses are, but they don't discuss the minuses. I've always said a contract's nothing more than words and paper until it bites you in the rear end. That's the thing with team concept that was pushed on us for the idea. Give you more input in your job, give you more job satisfaction, and it, create harmony, et cetera, and it's done none of that.
One more thing I'd like to add, you guys, is that I was surprised, too, because they did not bring up the call for delegates at the meeting today, and I know that International put out the call, and I think it's going to be real important who we get in there to be a delegate. Whether we do the one person, one vote thing or we don't, I've been hearing rumors that they don't have enough time to implement it and that it's not going to go forward. I haven't had any solid proof of that, but I have been hearing things. And no matter what the situation, delegates are going to be key.
Yep.
So hopefully some people out there will run.
Yeah.
How much time do you need for one member, one vote to be fully instigated before we do delegates?
Well, I don't think you need a lot of time. I think you need a plan. You need to, I think the membership definitely has a right to have some voice in what we're going to change in the Constitution and how we're going to go moving forward, but they're dragging their feet, and I think that's probably intentional. So,
did the moderator ever set a timeline for when it's implemented?
I don't think
the moderator has anything to do with this right now.
I think there's a judge right now handling things. I think the monitor is pretty silent. I think they just announced that there was some big announcement that they were going to go forward with it, but then I've heard the opposite as well. So nothing would surprise me.
Yeah, originally it was supposed to have been set up to take place at the next Constitutional Convention. That's what it was set up for.
Yeah, there's rumors that we're going to vote at the next – the delegates will vote on how we're going to change the Constitution and how we're going to move forward. But who's making the decision of what we're going to vote on? That's what I want to know, because that doesn't make any sense to me. If it's the powers that be that are there right now making those decisions, that's a complete conflict of interest.
Absolutely.
Nicest question.
Absolutely.
Sister, are they not sending – some of the delegates from my old plan, I've already been told – have been to Detroit and been informed of what's going on, getting ready for this convention. I kind of feel they're playing the old school game of a whisper campaign. They're going to tell all their friends what's going on, and then they're going to get rattled right at the end and call for the thing, tell people we got to vote on it. Nobody will want to run because they don't really know what the hell's going on. Yet everybody's been schooled on what to do when they get there. My humble opinion. I've been around a long time. I'm retired out of
right.
Fab. I took Norwood Jewel on. I spent 9 years discharged for standing up against that piece of shit. And I'm proud to say, look at me now, punk. Look at me now.
Right. Well, something needs to be done because we're being kept in the dark and it's not right. And I feel like maybe we can't trust this judge either.
That's possible. We have 4 minutes remaining in tonight's show. You're right,
good night,
Stephanie.
Ramble Rousers.
I appreciate you guys
chiming in. Well, good night, Paul. You didn't leave quite yet, but we'll see you next week, right?
Yep, sure will.
All right.
Good
night,
night,
Paul. So,
did I make
yeah, we've been talking
no,
about
that's Paul.
Yeah, it was Paul. We've been talking about Constitutional Convention every week now for a while, and the importance of sending someone who's not already elected or appointed.
Somebody who is not beholden to the people there.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
I feel like that's part of what one of the rules that needs to change is that no elected officials are allowed to be delegates.
Right.
Well, I would.
That's just one out of 100 things.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't do that because they're members also. But
right.
You as an individual don't have to vote on elected officials to be delegates.
I know that.
Right.
But here's the thing. At our plant, Scott, I don't know if you'll agree with me, I don't think percentage of members know what a delegate is or what they do. And when we start,
right.
When we do the call for delegates, no one runs. They win by acclamation almost every time. Someone does run, they don't have a chance because people don't even vote. They don't know what it is. It's a sad state
right.
of affairs, but that's what it is. And so,
yep.
You know, telling me that I don't have to vote, I understand that completely. But if you went around and asked the membership and told them, they wouldn't have a clue what you're talking about. And that's sad. But that's, I feel like that's kind of how they want it, you know?
Yep. Well, I ran for delegate a couple of times, and you're right. Not a high percentage of votes, and if they do, it's a landslide for them. You know,
right.
We know how that works, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Scott, you going to run for this time?
I am seriously thinking about it. Seriously
Let
thinking about it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But it's been a good show. We appreciate you calling in and giving us an update what happened at the local today. That's good. Disheartening what I heard about Fort Wayne. I sent that to you in the messenger so you can read that
okay.
in the comment below it. So, other than that,
Sorry.
We're
too much time.
Yeah. No. We're planning on coming back again next week. We got a little over a minute left tonight's show, and I think you guys said it all. I mean, it's what's going on. It's all about sending delegates, the right delegates, the Constitutional Convention this time. It's going to be dire. This will make it or break it.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
That's where we're at with it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. So... with that, Jimmy, got anything else you want to add? Adrian?
No, Stephanie, don't be a stranger. Come back anytime.
We
I
do,
try to get
Stephanie.
It's
nice
so much
to hear
here,
from you.
Really, yeah, it's always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. And we appreciate it.
Yeah, we do.
See you guys next Sunday.
Okay.
All right.
Bind it here. And you all be careful, be safe this week, and good night.
Have
good night,
a good
Adrian.
Have a
night,
go.